Hey everybody. Y'all, it's no secret that I am a Southerner. And while I do not slap my knee and exclaim, "Well, I declare," I do a fair amount of declaring in my patient advocacy work and in life. Soon, a great many of us are about to declare in the form of New Year's resolutions. Every New Year's Eve, millions of people around the globe celebrate with the hope that next year's going to be better than the last. Are you planning your resolutions? I read a survey run by Finder.com in 2021 that revealed that more than 141 million adult Americans, or 55% of us, think that following through with resolutions this year is well within the cards. However, some 26% of adult Americans are going to roll into the new year without any personal goals on their agenda. Ever wonder about New Year's resolutions? Why we make them, why we break them, or how it all began? How did New Year's resolutions start? I did some reading on the history of New Year's resolutions. It seems that the ancient Babylonians are said to have been the first people to make New Year's resolutions some 4,000 years ago. Though for them, the new year would have been in mid-March when the crops were planted. There'd be a big 12-day religious festival, and they would crown a new king or reaffirm their loyalty to the reigning king. They also made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered to be forerunners of New Year's resolutions. If the Babylonians kept their word, their pagan gods would bestow favor upon them in the coming year. If not, they would fall out of favor with the gods. A similar practice occurred in ancient Rome. After the Emperor Julius Caesar tinkered with the calendar around 46 BC and established January 1st as the beginning of the new year. Named for Janus, the two-faced god whose spirit inhabits the doorways and arches, January has special significance for the Romans. Believing that Janus symbolically looked backwards into the previous year and ahead into the future, Romans would offer sacrifices to the deity and make promises of good conduct for the coming year. Well, today, New Year's resolutions are mostly a secular practice. Instead of making promises to the gods, most people make resolutions only to themselves, and they focus mostly on self-improvement. Let's take a closer look at our resolutions and what we are resolving to do. Who's making resolutions and what are they about? Of the responses in that survey that I mentioned, some 74% of men and women plan to make a resolution that year. Health-related resolutions, top of the list. 44% of guys, 48% of gals. The least targeted resolution across the board related to a career, with a slightly higher percentage of those career declarations coming from men. As for women, 40% lean towards self-improvement, and 32% planned a money-related goal. Who are making resolutions? Let's talk generations. Most millennials, and the persons born between 1981 and 1996, of the millennials, 88.6% said they were going to make a New Year's resolution that year. An even higher percentage of Gen Z, that's 1997 to 2002, a higher percentage planned to make a resolution. 92% of them were. But it was noticed, however, that as ages increase, that the number of resoluters falls off. While Generation Z, those born between 1965 and 1980, the baby boomers, 1946 to 1964, and the Silent Gen, 1928 to 1945, those three generations plan to focus their resolutions on health. More than half of the millennials, however, 53%, were concentrating on money-related goals. Oddly, Gen Zers went back to focusing on self-improvement. When you think about it, failure creeps in even at point of resolution. A certain percentage of Americans think they're going to fail with respect to their resolution. If you've ever been to a gym the first week in January, you will have witnessed the great migration of resoluters. You've probably seen that same crowd thin out by February. We stop talking about our commitments, it seems, lest someone inquire. Here, generations seems little to have anything to do at all with preparing to fail, but the excuses that they're using do differ. There are gender and generational differences when we kind of sort of plan to fail. Besides the 47% of men and 53% of women with resolutions who think that they lack willpower, there's a good chunk of those to claim that they might be forgetful in the new year. How very convenient. To home in on this, 9% of men and 11% of women with resolutions say they'll probably lose track and forget about their resolution. While women are more inclined to admit to not having willpower, men are more ready to blame the failed resolution on just being lazy. Every generation that was queried in this study said if they fold on their resolutions, that lack of self-control was likely to blame. The second reason or second roadblock was the possibility of it slipping their mind. Well, I still want to make resolutions. What can we do about our own resolutions this and in the coming years? If you have a resolution rattling around in your head and in your heart that wants to be declared an intention formally, then a New Year's resolution might be in your near future. Should there be any reticence or misgivings? Perhaps if you heard a couple of mine, that will help jumpstart your efforts. You'll also be helping me by making me more accountable. So I'm declaring to you and publicly, so hold me accountable to the following, will you? I have two focuses to work on in 2024. First, I'm going to work on my microboard. A microboard is a term used to describe a compilation of persons who can help me get the support I need moving forward. Many of you know I'm a solo edger, so I need to build my team for people that will care for me because I don't have built-in caregivers by way of family. So I want to work on my microboard. My aim is to age well and safely and with a good handle on all of my options for living. So I need to find and select my board. That makes me the chairperson of the board. I love that part. I get to appoint the seats for my board, and I can replace them also. Because I'm a solar ager, and those are persons who by choice or circumstance are functioning without the support of built-in family, I need to develop relationships with people I can then trust to be on my microboard. You know, because I'm still relatively new to where I live, I am plugging into healthcare, social resources, finding a faith community, and actively working to meet new people. And because, and I truly believe this, because I have set these intentions, they are already occurring. This week, I attended a documentary hosted by a regional nature conservancy. They had the documentary showing in a local cinema for the screening of the event. I knew absolutely no one, so I selected an aisle seat in the cinema so as to meet folks that would have to pass me to be seated, and I could say hello. Pretty strategic, huh? Well, it worked. A group began to file past me, and some of them were turned around and returned to the lobby before being seated. But one of the women began to chat with me, asking me, how did you find out about this event? And it gave me a chance to say, I'm rather new to Greenville and South Carolina. When the rest of the party returned, filed back past me, excuse me, hello, come on by. I even joked, $5. Well, that lady I'd been chatting with told the couple that was seated right next to me to tell her how y'all made your way as newcomers just 2 years ago. Well, they proceeded to tell me about a newcomers club, one that I hadn't known about, and how to find more volunteer opportunities right on the city's website. So for me, that was a score. The second thing I'm going to work on is joy. Looking back, as Janus did, looking back from within the 22, 23 doorway, just like Janus, I gotta say, I was dangerously close to losing my mojo and maybe my wits. Much of 2023 has since been about restructuring my life and myself. Myself. After closing my patient advocacy agency of 10 years, which had been my identity and certainly a stressor, and my income as I knew it to be. Big change. Then there was a move to a city where I knew no one. Yeah, I did my due diligence. You've heard me talk about that in selecting my new city. Oh, there was more going on. A loved one's chronic condition was exacerbating to the level I had never seen. And so there was caregiving underway. And I myself was being worked up for some surgery that was to take place in early 2023. Well, I made it through all of that. Hey, why have one life event when you can have several? If any solo agers out there want to work on goals like this, please let me know. Book a consultation with me. I'm on the other side now and I'm happy to help you. Because of all of that, though, I had let joy slide way down my priority list. It had actually been slipping for a few years, really. It's time to get back my personal joy, and I know how to begin. It starts with a phrase that I heard recently in a workshop. It was one of those light bulb moments where you're thinking to yourself, that's it. The phrase that I heard was in the form of advice. The advice was to find balance by consciously undercommitting my time. And I likely heard that loud and clear because I needed to do it. The advice went on to instruct me to be sure and build in time for pleasure, to find pleasure, to have experiences. So I filled my October free time with motoring around the mountains and to see what was a spectacular fall season. It gave me time to visit some old friends that were up in years, and it allowed me to answer the tug to go see them. And I think that that did us both a world of good. Being open to new experiences, and they are coming, because now I have that intention to be present and to receive them. I hold a firm belief that this bigger world that I seek and will maintain is out there, and it's available for me and for you. Here's some guidelines, for resolution making. As we head into 2024, here's my thoughts on how we can better entertain, then declare, and begin to realize our way to achieving our goals in the coming year. First one, not biting off more than we can accomplish. In other words, setting realistic expectations. That workshop phrase that I heard, the one of those that's it moments, I am hereby declaring my mantra for 2024 to be consciously undercommit your time. The second thing we could do is take some advice, especially if it's resonating with you or tugging at you. By that, I mean if you're feeling the tug to take action, then do so. Have you ever heard anybody say, or maybe you've read something that just seemed to leap off the page to you, something that elicits that reaction of, yikes, that is me? Or, oh, you got me. Third thing you can do is create your own accountability. First, declare your resolution to someone. Put it out there. If you can self-motivate and self-police, good for you. But on a second thought, it may benefit you to find an accountability buddy, somebody who can help you persevere or cheerlead or even call you out. Whatever works, but set yourself up for success. 2024 is days away. Perhaps, like the god Janus, we'll look backwards into the previous year and forward into the next. There may be sacrifices to make and promises of good conduct, just as there were made back in 46 BC. And this is not lost on me for rumination. The word resolution. Resolution, resolution implies solution, looking at it again. Resolution, to resolve, 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 resolve. We can have some resolve. I play like that in my head all the time. I'd like to wish everybody a happy and prosperous new year. My name is Nancy Ruffner. I'm a patient advocate, and my jam is helping people to think differently so that you can move more comfortably forward in the future. Thanks, everybody.